Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I do want to get to some of the NBA stuff. That is my favorite league, but some reaction to me saying Cam Newton's a top three quarterback in the NFL. Chris on the other side of the glass, to put it in radio terms, disagreed. And I got some reaction online as well. I think Cam Newton's underrated. I don't really, you know, when it comes to actual impact on the field, he's as good as anybody in the league. And I don't understand why he doesn't really get that sort of recognition. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Elijah in Houston, Texas, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Elijah?
Hey, I want to weigh in on Cam Newton.
Okay.
But first, you mentioned greatest offensive lineman at all time.
Yeah.
Gotta be John Hannah. Those 73 Patriots rushed for over 3,400 yards, and nobody but bums at running back. Anyway.
I'll take your word for it.
Just wanted to address that real quick. But, Cam Newton, I feel like he's, like Chris was saying, he's very inconsistent. A lot of times he goes out there and has a great game. Like his MVP season, he had two games where he had like four or five touchdowns, and that was over a third of his touchdowns for the year. He was an average quarterback the rest of the year.
In his MVP season?
Yeah.
He was an average Absolutely. Quarterback the rest of the year? Really?
No. 32 touchdowns. He had 9 in 2 games.
He had 35 touchdowns and to 10 interceptions. But you have to remember also, this is not somebody who is solely depending on his passing numbers. You know, he ran for 636 yards and 10 touchdowns. As a runner, he had 10 touchdowns. You know, his running that year is worth a fantasy roster spot. So you factor in that's another 10 touchdowns. That gives him 45 touchdowns produced on the year.
Right, but in terms of real football.
No, what does that mean, real football? What do you mean?
You were talking about rostering him for the fantasy value.
Well, yeah, football, there's a lot of value in what he does as a runner. He makes it so in short yardage, you have to worry about whether he can advance the ball. In goal line situations, whether he can advance the ball. You have to worry if he can escape the rush and rush for 40 yards on a given play. It's hard to bring him down. He can extend plays, and then you can run plays that make it seem like he might be a runner, and he's actually throwing the ball. There's a lot you have to prepare for when you're dealing with him, and I think he's a unique runner in the sense of a lot of the other running quarterbacks have just been able to, all right, they escape and they run down the field. There's never been one who can run short and run long like Cam Newton.
Right. I agree. He's certainly the most physically gifted, but I don't see the competitive fire that makes all the other quarterbacks great leaders. I think you were mentioning Kelvin Benjamin's all good. I think Kelvin Benjamin had a chance to be really, really great, but he sees the attitude that Cam Newton comes to work with every day.
So we're going to blame, but what about his other stops? You know, what's kept him from being great in those places? In Buffalo?
Oh, Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like the quarterbacks who show up and they get, like David Carr gets sacked 65 times in their rookie season. Establish a certain way of doing things.
You are blaming Kelvin Benjamin not being good on Cam Newton. Or could he just
Kelvin
not be
Benjamin
good?
Benjamin was excellent in his rookie year.
He caught a lot of passes. In fact, I don't think he was excellent. He was targeted 146 times, and he caught 73 passes. He had a lot of opportunity. I don't know if he was actually excellent or not. And they got better when he was out because I think Cam Newton was over-targeting him. and therefore didn't spread the ball around. I mean, because that year he was injured was the year you're talking about, the MVP season, after you thought Kelvin Benjamin might emerge as a target. The next year, Cam Newton and the Panthers had a great year. And I think that's the year they made the Super Bowl, obviously, as well. If he was more consistent as a passer, he would be the best quarterback maybe ever. And again, with a lot of these quarterbacks, I have a few issues with some of the way they conduct themselves at times. And Cam, sometimes he opens his mouth and you're like, dude, what are you saying? But as far as just what he's doing out there on the field, he's got to be one of the toughest players to prepare for. And he's the sole reason anyone takes Carolina seriously. Corey in Dallas. Corey, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Corey?
What's up, man? I just wanted to say that I think Cam Newton is overrated also. I mean, I probably give him top 10. But far as his completion percentage for his career, I believe it's under 60%.
It's 58.7%. But it's not the position is not designated passer.
But you just said about Kelvin Benjamin only catching 50% of his balls. How many of them balls was reachable for Kelvin Benjamin? And then also,
but Kelvin Benjamin has done nothing otherwise. Like, why are we using Kelvin Benjamin? It's not like, why are we using Kelvin Benjamin as some measuring stick? Like he's done anything.
But I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to go back to Kelvin Benjamin. But he had Steve Smith, D'Angelo Williams, and Jonathan Stewart. He had talent, and he's always been.
And those guys had good years, and none of those guys, come on. None of those guys were.
Steve Smith is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Steve Smith was a great receiver. But you're talking, it's been a good minute since then, and we're not talking about Steve Smith in the absolute apex of his career. D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart had great years playing for that team, but I don't know. D'Angelo Williams predated Cam Newton. His best years predated Cam Newton. And then Jonathan Stewart, I think a lot of those numbers that they got from the rushing attack are because of Cam Newton, because you have to worry about Cam Newton.
I honestly think that Cam Newton had at least 3 or 4 years with all of those guys before he signed his new contract, so they had the money to spend to get him the talent. He didn't do nothing with the talent he had. And then Kelvin Benjamin, you say his number, what has he done now? He's in Buffalo, man. Buffalo hasn't did nothing for the long. They haven't had no quarterback for him to get the ball to him. I'm pretty sure Kelvin Benjamin was with probably Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, a decent quarterback.
Kelvin Benjamin is the greatest receiver of all time who's never done anything. Apparently, that's what I'm finding out today. You couldn't do anything with Kelvin Benjamin. You must be trash. Kelvin Benjamin missed a season in between. He had 1 year where he got a bunch of targets. His other year in Carolina, he had 63 catches, 941 yards, 7 touchdowns. Fine. Since he's been to Buffalo, he has less than 300 yards receiving. I'm not saying he doesn't have any talent, but to use Kelvin Benjamin as like some anti-Cam Newton stance, I don't understand. As if it'd be one thing if Kelvin Benjamin was somewhere, lit up the league, came to Carolina, and wasn't good playing with Cam Newton. But he's, in fact, the only time Kelvin Benjamin has done anything is playing with Cam Newton. Let's go to Jared in Pennsylvania. Jared, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I have two things real quickly. Number one, Kelvin Benjamin. Listen, 2014 was a really good season for him. I know you just mentioned the stats. He won a lot of games for me in fantasy football that year, and he played really well.
But again, targets. He had 104. That's not a good rate on, 146 targets, 73 catches is not a great rate. I mean, because he had a good fantasy season doesn't mean he was actually a great player.
Yeah, I understand that. But 73 catches, over 1,000 yards, and almost double-digit touchdowns.
I'm aware. I'm looking at the numbers right now.
Either, though.
What's that?
He's a bad player either, though.
No, I'm not saying but they were better the next year when he wasn't getting all those targets.
Okay, all right. So that wasn't even my main point. But what I was calling about, which I want to make sure I can go back to the Hugh Jackson thing, like, I have friends that are diehard Browns fans, and they could not wrap their minds around how Hugh Jackson has kept his job over the last couple of seasons. And I know you talked about this earlier, but my question to you is this. So I keep hearing over and over again, well, he inherited a lot of bad players. He inherited a bad team. You know, he's a professional football coach. I think a professional football coach, if he does his work and he's involved, like, people can't tell me he's not involved in the signing of players and the drafting of players. So he was involved with a lot of those signings.
Well, to be fair, I mean, look, I am critical of him just from the decisions he's made, the overall record. But to be fair, if you're talking about the way the organization was run, they were following a Sam Hinkie business model for a minute there, where the goal was to bottom out to get assets. So it's not fair to judge him on talent acquisition.
Okay, so let's look at the team now. So the defense is good. It's very good. It seems like they have a couple good running backs, and it seems like they have their franchise quarterback at this point, hopefully. How long right now, if the Browns continue to lose, does Hugh Jackson keep his job?
This year, that's it.
So they'll give the whole season.
Probably.
So if he goes out right now and the Browns lose the next 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5,
I feel like you're nitpicking a little bit with what I just said. I said if they struggle the rest of this year, he'll be gone. So it's not like I'm giving him some sort of long leash. This is it.
Okay, so again, what happens if he goes out and loses the next 3 out of 4? Does he stay?
Maybe. Look, is it possible he gets fired in the middle of the season? Sure, that's possible. But for me saying that this would be his final year, it's not exactly like I'm, you know, extending some great runway for him to continue going. If they have a bad year, he's gone. I can tell you that fairly confidently. If they have a bad year, he's gone. I predict this, Baker Mayfield will save his job. So we'll see how those two work out together. And maybe it works out for both of them. You know, maybe Hugh Jackson, the things that are wrong with him, being overly conservative, are, you know, mitigated a bit by Baker Mayfield not caring about that stuff at all. And then the things that Hugh Jackson does well could be amplified. We'll see. How about Marty in Florida? Marty, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Marty?
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but you said, I know Benjamin's a sore subject for you, but you said his fantasy numbers didn't matter, right?
I didn't say they didn't matter. I just said they don't necessarily mean he was a great player.
Matter.
What's that?
When your voice jumped about 5 octaves and you were screaming, you said his fantasy numbers didn't matter.
Because fantasy numbers aren't necessarily indicative of how good a season or how good a player you are. Like, fantasy numbers are most dependent on opportunity. And he had so many targets that he was bound to score fantasy points.
But that's one of the arguments that you used to make Cam Newton was so good is because
of what? Know,
because of his fantasy numbers.
I didn't say one word about Cam Newton's fantasy numbers. I didn't say one word.
Quarterback that, you know, 10 rushing touchdowns were rushing touchdowns that could have been spread out to the running back.
Oh, so they were the wrong kind of touchdowns? They scored the wrong kind of touchdowns?
You got to tell me why he's better than Stafford, and you got to tell me why he's better than Matt Ryan.
Matt Stafford? What has Matt Stafford ever done?
Look at Matt Stafford. You talk about good fantasy numbers.
I haven't talked about good fantasy numbers. I have not brought up fantasy.
It cost Matt Stafford probably a Hall of Fame career if you look at his passing numbers.
Well, Matt Ryan has struggled since Shanahan's been gone and just not been the same kind of player. I don't think he's nearly as dynamic, obviously, as Cam Newton. And Matt Stafford has done nothing other than put up some passing numbers. The Lions haven't performed particularly great. I think Matt Stafford's above average. I don't think he's great. I think Cam Newton alters the game in far more significant ways by his ability to – he might not be the most accurate passer. I will concede that point. But when he gets hot, he's an excellent passer, and he can make the kind of throws other guys can't make. And then you combine that with his just having to prepare for what he can do all around offensively, both in short yardage situations and escaping from the rush, and the results that have been there in Carolina without the personnel around him. You know, a lot of those other guys, you know, you talk about Matt Ryan, he has had Julio Jones. He has had a bunch of other playmakers around him. Matt Stafford, again, I'm not even taking that one seriously at that moment in this moment until he prove himself otherwise. All right, to the NBA coming up next, the Jimmy Butler situation and some of the preseason talk about the Los Angeles Lakers I've found amusing. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I did not know I would be getting into an extended Cam Newton discussion this morning, but that's the beauty of things developing organically. Brad Pepper tweets in, Cam Newton also played with wide receiver Steve Smith. I think he was pretty good. Again, I referenced that. I don't think he really, the respective primes of their careers really intersected, but it's not as if Steve Smith had bad years when playing with Cam Newton either. So I wouldn't really use that as part of the argument too much either way. I mean, Steve Smith still had some nice years in 2011 and 2012, but obviously the prime of his career was before Cam Newton got there. He was almost 10 years into his career before Cam Newton got there. Let's go to Charles in Virginia. Charles, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I agree with you 100%. I think Cam Newton is a very good quarterback. Of course, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. However, I mean, his line is not very good. So when people talk about his inconsistencies on his throws, I mean, he's getting the pressure to him. You know what I'm saying? And his receivers aren't very good at all. I mean, the drop passes against the Falcons was just crazy. I mean, fourth backup tight end for Greg Olsen dropped a clear touchdown. He doesn't have very good receivers to throw to at this point. I mean, he's got some young talent, but even like Devin Funchess that he's had, I mean, he's no good. And I'll get back to Kelvin Benjamin that everybody's praising. That guy, for his size, he plays so soft. He was the same size as Calvin Johnson, and he is not on the same level as Calvin Johnson, just like Matt Stafford is not on the level of Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton is a very good quarterback. He brings more to the table than a lot of – now, he's not Rodgers or Brady, but he's, again, he's right there, probably the third-best quarterback in the league right now. But that's just my take on it.
Well, I mean, look, we're almost in lockstep. Those are the three guys to me. And you know, I can understand people not wanting to put Cam on that level because of some of the drawbacks, because of what some of those guys have accomplished. But I can also make arguments where he should be on that level because of, again, take Cam Newton off of the Panthers, if you want to play it that way, right? Now, Rodgers, I think the same argument works for Rodgers and the Packers. We've seen that in real life. But Brady and the Patriots, we've seen other guys step in and still the Patriots be effective. I'm not trying to take any credit away from Brady, but that's been the case, right? They won 11 games the year Matt Castle was in. They were 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett. You know, if Tom Brady left the Patriots, I don't think anyone would be picking them to go to the Super Bowl, but I don't think people would be picking them to go flat on their face. If Cam Newton was off the Panthers, we'd be talking about them like the worst team in the league amongst that quality. And as is, no one, I don't think, is mentioning them amongst the Super Bowl contenders, but they're you know, competitive and in the mix for possibly winning that division. And, you know, they've had the years he was hurt, they really struggled. You know, Cam Newton had a couple years where he's banged up, and his playing style is going to lend itself to that. But when he's played and been on the field for the majority of the year, they've been very good most of those years. They were 11-5 a year ago. They were 15-1 in 2015. They were 12-4 in 2013. That's three seasons with 10 or more wins. You know, his rookie year, they weren't very good. The second year, they got to 7-9. Then they had the 12-4 year. Then they had a bad year in 2014. Before, since then, performing pretty well in the games where he's been available and playing. He was banged up in 2016. He won an MVP. He made it to a Super Bowl. It feels like people are hesitant to put him up at the very top of the list, and I really don't see why. And either one, I think, is because people don't like him, or two, because he doesn't play traditionally. And we should be over that by now. We shouldn't be in a situation where that's the only way you judge a quarterback. I mean, we had somebody call in before and just basically ignoring the rushing statistics that he's put up and the impact that his running can have on the game. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We were actually having a discussion in the control room between the break and now about Jimmy Butler. And it's one I've heard a bunch about. And, you know, it's hilarious to me. The NBA is not on the level of the NFL as of yet. The NFL is still the most popular sport in this country. I do eventually think it could be basketball and soccer like it is across the globe. But basketball is the most popular with the younger demos and on social media. it has the biggest following. If you look it up, the NBA has a bigger following even than the NFL does. And that lends itself to some entertainment value because you'll see, you know, that played out through the prism of even Jimmy Butler's trade request, where Andrew Wiggins' brother is saying hallelujah, and then Jimmy Butler is responding on his Instagram story, and then Steven Jackson is getting involved, and it's just hysterical to me. It makes it such a fun league to follow. Not only do I think the on-court product is the best, not only do I think that the best athletes in the world are in the NBA, but the drama that follows the NBA has made it almost a year-round sport, where I think basically August and generally September are the only months that it is off. And now, you know, we're not even in October yet, and the NBA is starting to percolate again. And as far as, like, talk, it's right there with the NFL. As far as dominating headlines and talk, I think it's almost on that same level. But when it comes to Jimmy, or maybe even has caught up and passed it, when you're dealing with free agency and the like into the summer. But Jimmy Butler is interesting because he's like a top 10-ish player. You either have to have him in the top 10 or just outside, depending on if you like Paul George better or something like that. But Jimmy Butler's right there as a top 10-ish player. But he doesn't seem to be valued to that level by people because of some question marks. You know, Tom Thibodeau's put a lot of mileage on him in his career. He's played a lot of minutes, and people are worried about the back end of that contract. They're also worried, I think, about whether he can be the best player on a championship team. At the same time, he's a pretty effective volume scorer. He can go get buckets in tough situations, and he scores at a pretty good clip for somebody who is more of a volume scorer than a shooter, more of a scorer than a shooter. Shot 47% last year, 35% from three, scored over 20 points a game, you know, five rebounds, five assists, while playing top-flight defense. You know, and can play in modern-day NBA lineups that can switch and are versatile. So there's a lot of value in a player like that. So he's a hard player to get the proper value on. So for a guy that generally, when you're talking about let's call him a top 10 player, people say trade the farm for him. But I've heard a lot of others back off and say, I wouldn't, you know, Knicks fans are saying I wouldn't trade a draft pick for Jimmy Butler. Others are saying I wouldn't give him that contract because I'm worried about, you know, the 28, 30 million you'd have to pay him on the back end of that deal. You know, is Jimmy Butler the kind of player that you'd be in a rush to get and give up assets for?
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I wanted to talk about Jimmy Butler, and probably still will, along with a quick thing I had to say about the Lakers, but so many of you still want to talk about Cam Newton. That came out of nowhere. I didn't realize it was polarizing for me to think that Cam Newton is a good player. Chris in Wisconsin. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm not saying Cam Newton's not a good player. I just, to me, in my opinion, Matthew Stafford is far and away the better quarterback. If you talk about, like you mentioned before, if you take Cam Newton off of Carolina, that's, yeah, I'm sure it'd be bad. Take Matthew Stafford off the Detroit Lions. They I don't think they'd win a game. I mean, the guy's done it his entire career in Detroit with basically Calvin Johnson, nothing else. Set the league record for comebacks in a year, and it seems like he doesn't get credit for that. It's like a bad thing because he only was behind, so, you know, of course he'd come back, you know. Someone else does, like I said, Elway does it. He's just a comeback. Stafford does it, and well, they were behind. It's because he wasn't playing good. I mean, he's had 700-yard rushers in his career, 6-1 in those games. Only seven times a running back went for 100 yards where he was the quarterback. I mean, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Matthew Stafford, in my opinion, is top 10 without a doubt in the league right now. Way ahead of Cam.
Well, I think Cam Newton's top three. But top 10 is fine. I appreciate the fact that you have thought behind what you said. You're not just saying it, and you backed it up with some substantive points and actually made me look at Matt Stafford a little bit more closely. But I just don't think he has the same kind of impact on the game that Cam does. Obviously, Detroit has been up and down. He's had a couple of good years there where they've won, but they are 7 games under .500. During his tenure. Now, how much of that is the personnel around him? You can't totally translate QB record and put it on the quarterback. But you made some fair points.
And he also took over maybe prior to the Cleveland of right now, but he took over the absolute worst franchise in football history at that time when he was drafted. They, that was when they were Lions were 0-16 the year before he got there. By far the worst team in the league, and he took that over too. I mean, of course, there was going to be a lot of losses then. Again, I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league, and, you know, mistakes in games, of course, but I think he's. I think there's no doubt Stafford's top 10. I would take him before Cam. Unless it's not to maybe fantasy football, like you said, or what the other caller said, but that's for a different thing. That'd be for Cam's rushing stats, not for clearly not his throwing stats, in my opinion.
Well, look, I would take Cam before Stafford without thinking about it. But I do appreciate your point of view, and I appreciate your argument. And you did make a fair defense of Matt Stafford, and maybe people like myself being a little too harsh on him at times. All right, back to the Jimmy Butler situation. I also want to explore the teams that were on his list for a second, because part of this is about what you would give up for Jimmy Butler. Like, what is Jimmy Butler worth as a player? Is he the kind of guy that you're instantly trying to get? Because for a top 10 player, I've heard a lot of reservations from people. 855-212-4227. But the other thing is, what does his list mean? If the list itself is actually true. If, you know, Butler put out there that the Clippers, the Nets, and the Knicks are his preferred destinations. Now, with Jimmy Butler and Minnesota, you have to take a few things into consideration. One end is Butler has had some rifts before. You know, he and Wade had a problem with that Chicago team, and now Butler has had a problem with this Minnesota team. So I don't want to totally, you know, take him off the hook for his role in why there might be friction there. I think what likely happened is that Jimmy Butler is a competitive dude and a veteran, and maybe can rub himself the wrong way on some players, and that goes to one extreme. And then the other extreme was, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and the rest of those guys in Minnesota being young and maybe not showing the work ethic that Jimmy Butler wanted, or playing too much Fortnite or something along those lines. But they're also young guys. So I think it just probably wasn't the best overall marriage. You throw in the Thibodeau factor where he really loves Butler and has an affinity for him, and it just caused a bad situation overall that it's likely going to be moved on from. I know there was a report that Thibodeau doesn't want to trade him. I think Butler will be traded. I think he'll be traded before the season. So then you start to look at the teams he chose. Well, if those are accurate, a couple things need to be noted. One team that's absent that I think he should consider is Philadelphia. That makes a lot of sense to me. You pair him with Embiid, you pair him with Simmons, and you give the Sixers the kind of team, the kind of player they didn't have, somebody that can create something from nothing, as well as somebody that can fit into versatile defensive lineups. And Philadelphia, they have the kind of package they could put together fairly easily, I think, to land Butler. You know, let's say Dario Saric, Robert Covington, and Mike Muscala. That works under the cap. They could make that trade. I think I'd make that trade if I'm Minnesota, and I think I'd make that trade if I'm Philadelphia. So I'm surprised why they're not on there. Then there's the Lakers, and I think that jumped out to people that the Lakers were not on the list. And one of the narratives that's emerging now, because you know, Kawhi Leonard didn't wind up in L.A., and now that Jimmy Butler said the Clippers and not the Lakers, is that guys don't want to play with LeBron. I don't think that's true, but what I do think, here's what I say. I don't think it's true in that vein, where if you say it plainly, guys don't want to play with LeBron. I don't think that's the case. I do think when you're on LeBron's team, these guys know that he is the sun and everything else is orbiting the sun. And some of these guys don't want that to be the case. They might not want the extra scrutiny that comes with playing alongside LeBron, and they might not want to be considered the sidekick that anyone really would be if you're playing with LeBron. I mean, look at Kyrie Irving's situation, and we know there was a lot to that. I don't know exactly what happened, but Kyrie Irving got to take more shots than LeBron. He took more shots on Cleveland. He got to pull up for a game winner in Game 7 of the NBA Finals from he had the green light to pull up from several steps beyond the three-point line to win Game 7 of the NBA Finals. He got plenty of credit, none of the blame, and he still wanted more of a central focus on his situation. Now he's in Boston, and there's rumors that he could wind up somewhere else. If he's not happy in Boston either, I don't know what's going to make him happy. But that's just an example that some of these guys don't necessarily want to be considered, you know, one of the planets orbiting the sun that is LeBron. So I think there is some truth to that, because if you went to the Clippers, you're the guy, and there's not that level of pressure that there would be playing with LeBron. But I think if you explore the list a little bit more seriously, what it does to me is legitimize a few teams that haven't been legitimate. You know, the Clippers, number one. The Clippers obviously have been an afterthought, laughingstock of a team. They had the Lob City era, but they now are, I believe, on the course to becoming something. They got a long way to go because they still don't have the roster, but they have a new owner in Steve Ballmer, who is a breath of fresh air, obviously, I'm sure, to many players, to almost all players, I would imagine, compared to where that team was ownership-wise in the past. And they also have Jerry West now in the front office, that sort of perception, and the appeal of L.A. You know, guys want to live and play in L.A. and on the West Coast for the weather, for the lifestyle, for the access to the, you know, showbiz stuff. Guys want to be around there.
Don't forget Lee Jenkins.
And Lee Jenkins, who I talked to the other day, and I asked him, you know, what he thought about the Lee Jenkins, of course, now former Sports Illustrated writer and is in the Clippers front office at this point. But I asked him on, was it Wednesday? I said, hey, what do you think about Jimmy Butler being on the Clippers list? And he said, you're trying to catch me tampering on day one, but that he thinks that the Clippers will be a destination for stars at this point. And that seems to be the case. We've now heard Kawhi Leonard linked to the Clippers. We've now heard Jimmy Butler linked to the Clippers. And it just goes to show you, NBA players aren't stupid, man. They know what the organizations are about. And they're looking at the organization aside from just the situation. So they're looking at potential. And they're now seeing the Clippers as a place that they want to go play. The Knicks being on the list. Look, the Knicks have tried to get everybody and nobody wants to go there because they've been horribly and ineptly and disgustingly mismanaged. But maybe some of what they're doing is starting to get through to guys that it, you know, we'll see. I'll believe it when I see it because they're still owned by the same guy. But it looks like some of the players are starting to consider the Knicks a little bit more seriously, and maybe their front office has done something to wipe away the stench. And I'd be super happy if New York basketball became a thing, because New York in its heart of hearts wants to be a basketball town, but the teams themselves have just not let it. And then there's the Nets, who really worked themselves out of purgatory. They were in one of the worst situations imaginable, have dug themselves all the way out of that hole. And with them, you get the New York market. You get to have one of the top practice facilities in the NBA, and an organization that is talked about glowingly, and a clean slate, really. There's no, like, it's like kind of the Clippers. You could build your own thing with the Nets. So I think it adds, the fact that Jimmy Butler would pick those teams, of course those are the teams that could pay him too, let's not be stupid, you know, like they can pay him a lot of money. But it adds a degree of legitimacy that a top 10 player would put out a list of possible destinations, and that those would be the three teams that are on the list. Let's go to Terry in Knoxville, Tennessee. Terry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, man, I just want to make a few comments on LeBron, man. Him with the Lakers, whew, that's going to be a powerhouse team, man. I tell you what.
I agree. Do you have something you want to say in support of that?
Oh, yeah, actually, it's not really LeBron, but it's more related to Delanie Walker, man. I didn't watch the Miami game, but I heard he broke his ankle. Is that true?
He's out for the season. That was a heck of a tangent. Like, that was a woo, scurry. What are the ad-libs that you do in raps? Like, me goes, or what's Beyonce say on the song? Fast like a Lambo, skirt, skirt, skirt. Like, where are we going right there? We went from the Lakers are going to be good to is Delanie Walker hurt? Which, by the way, guys, I mean, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate anybody listening. But you don't have to call me to find that information out, right? Yeah, there's this thing called the internet. You could have just simply typed Delanie Walker's name into there and news, and you would have seen that he's out for the year with an ankle injury. So, yes, that is true, that he has a hurt ankle and he will not be playing this year. But that was a heck of a – hey, do you have any support for your point on the Lakers? What about the Titans tight end? What do you think about him? Oh, my goodness, guys. Huh. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way, I suppose. But on the Lakers, I do want to say something about the Lakers because – I saw Magic Johnson, and we're going to talk plenty about the Lakers, so I'm not going to, you know, belabor the point. I'm not going to go on and on and do, the whole last hour about the Lakers. But it is football season and the like, and basketball season is still around the corner. But I saw Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka talking on, I think it was Thursday. And I see some of the tone of people when they're discussing the Lakers. And it really boggles my mind. Like, when it comes to the Lakers, it feels like the prevailing notions are, one, this is just a growth year. You know, it's a get it all together, grow a little bit year, you know, write it off, and then go into free agency next year. Or two, oh, man, the Lakers are going to struggle. Like, that I feel has been out there more than what I think, which is the Lakers are going to be really good. Like, you know, they're a genuine championship contender. We live in the post-Warriors world, so I have to say that, you know, realizing that I would pick no one against the Warriors until proven otherwise, and most people consider, like, you know, the Warriors prohibitive and overwhelming favorites, and, you know, the NBA is broken and nobody else has a chance. So with that in mind, outside of the Warriors, who's got a better chance to win than the Lakers? In fact, if you're talking about teams that have a chance to beat the Warriors, to me, it's Boston and Golden State would be the top two teams on my list. I mean, Golden State. Boston and Los Angeles would be the top two teams on my list. Maybe you got to give the respect to Houston considering what they accomplished last year, but the Lakers are right in that mix. They're one of the five best teams in the league, I think, and people are acting like they're going to stink. It's nuts to me. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.